Do you ever feel stuck, like you're living your life on autopilot? Are you ready to shift into high gear and reach the success you so richly deserve? Welcome to the Play Big Movement podcast. I am your host, Sharon Lecter, entrepreneur, business strategist, and best-selling author. Playing big is not about settling for good enough or being comfortable. It is about reaching your highest potential and achieving your greatest success. Join me in my Play Big movement as I interview top experts in business, money, and entrepreneurship, all ready to serve you and to help you play big, be number one in your field, live your legacy, and create maximum impact. Hi, everybody. Welcome to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast. And it's always fun when my guest is touchable and being recorded in somewhere other city in the country. So I'm very excited to have Bob Donnell with me. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Sharon. Appreciate it.
And we talk, he's actually a fan of the podcast. He was just telling me that. Bob and I have known each other for several years. And we were just having a conversation about playing big and speakers and how some people have told him they were afraid of me. So it was kind of like, really? Oh my goodness, I'm staying on this kind of, that's still rattling around in my brain. But I wanted you to get to know Bob because he's just, his heart is bigger than his body. I mean, he's just such always a kind and generous man. So Bob, share a little bit about how you got here.
Yeah, thank you. I've been so blessed to have great mentors like you. I mean, really, somebody asked me today, you know, Bob, what do you think is the key to your success? And I said, I have had great mentors. And you know, and I can go down the list, but you're definitely in that list. And I think one of the things that, you know, growing up as from a single mom who was really ill most of her life. I mean, I really don't remember a time when she was healthy. And then her dying of cancer when I was in high school. And it was just a really, she was my only parent. And you know, but I had this great mentor, this one person. I call him a mentor because he asked me a great question, but I had no idea who he is. I still don't. But he walked up to me and I was probably 15 and a half. And he says, so Bob, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I remember looking at him going, I'm 15. Why are you asking me that? And he made this statement, and I'll never forget. He says, because you can learn a product or service or an industry, or you can learn every one thing that drives every product, service, or industry. And I went, what's that? And he goes, human behavior. And I went, okay.
That's pretty good.
And he goes, if you understand human behavior, you can be effective with any product, service, or industry. I said, great, sign me up. And he goes, great. Go back to your school and become a peer counselor. I'm like, okay. So the next year I became a peer counselor. 4 years later, I founded a nonprofit organization working with suicide prevention and crisis management. And the rest has just been a trajectory of putting myself under different people and saying, how can I learn? How can I, you know, be effective and letting them teach me?
Well, one of the things that I did not know about you that you were just sharing with me, so I brought him up here so we could do this, is the fact that we've had so many massive tragedies and you were in Vegas and you're on your way to go to El Paso to the Walmart parking lot. Yeah. Talk a little bit about the service that you provide in those instances.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. People say, what are you going to do when you get there? And I go, I don't know. I don't know because everything plays differently based on the environment. And then the people that are there. But one of my things is I just want to go and be present. And what present might look like is maybe standing at a memorial where people are gathered and maybe they're crying and just being there. Or maybe asking them a question like, how did you connect? In Vegas, there was this one where I asked this girl, she was standing there looking at this cross of this, with a picture of a young lady. And she says, she's just crying. And I go, how did you know her? And she goes, oh my gosh, she was my best friend. And I said, oh, I'm so sorry. And she's just bawling. And she goes, oh. I said, so can you tell me like one of your favorite memories of her? Oh yeah. She pulls out her phone and she's like, look, here's us at the prom. Her boyfriend and her knew that I didn't have a date. So they took me to the, and they told me about, and just look at the picture, look at the dresses. And I just sat there in awe. And I just sat there in awe because of who she became in that moment was a person that was healing. And it was that. So being present enough to just sit still, to ask a question, that's what I love.
And so you helped her reframe her yes. life into great memories.
Yeah.
But I think that's a huge lesson, being present. I mean, we talk about playing big. We're always working, you know, with type A personalities.
Yeah.
Have a hard time just being present.
Yes.
Right?
Agreed.
We're
agreed.
Always driving. I say take time to celebrate the little wins, right?
Yeah.
Because most of us don't. Next. So we're never right, like, present in today.
Mm.
So talk a little bit more about the importance of being present.
Yeah, you know, I think one of the coolest examples of presence that I've had was with Garth Brooks. Garth has been a person that I've loved since 1989 when I first heard him come on the scene. Loved. And I remember when my daughter died, we'll talk about that, I'm sure. But when my daughter died, I wrote on the back of a card, her name was Macy. I said, yes, Macy, my life is better left to chance. I could have missed the pain, but I'd have had to miss the dance, which is his song. And I said, Macy, you're the one dance I would never wish to miss, no matter how short the song was. And I put that on a card and I said, I'm gonna give this to Garth someday. And they're like, just make it happen. I'm like, no, it's just gonna have to be the right time. So I'm going to all these events, he's not there. I go to this one event, he's not even expected. And somebody says, Mr. Garth Brooks, please come to the stage for rehearsal. And I'm like, he's not even supposed to be here. And I go, wow, that's really cool. So I go up, and as he's walking down the stage after his rehearsal, I said, hey, Garth, can I have just a second? And he says, sure, what's up? And I just hand him the card. And Sharon, I mean, it was so powerful, because here's what he did. He's standing on the risers about 3 feet above me, and he just looks at the card and he goes, we need to talk. We spent 45 minutes with sound check going on, all these celebrities. It was a major award show. All these celebrities, everything completely went silent. He literally looked me square in the eye and said, Bob, how old was she? You know, she was three. And then he began to ask the difficult questions. And you and I both know what difficult questions are. He didn't just say, oh, I'm so sorry. He said, do you have any other kids? I said, yeah, I do. He goes, what are their names? How old are they? I tell him. He says, do they ever ask about her? I'm like, yes. He goes, well, I'm like, what do you say to them? He goes, you know, I've got three girls. What do you say to them? And so for 45 minutes, it was that kind of conversation. And I remember crying, and I remember saying, Garth, I'm really sorry. I'm around celebrities a lot. I don't get this way. And he goes, this isn't anything to do with celebrity. This is just two human beings having a conversation. That presence, I said, I want to be that with the people I'm with. That was powerful.
That's excellent. I love that. And as you can surmise by our conversation, we are both part of the fraternity we don't want to be part of, and that's parents who have lost their children, and both in tragic situations. And part of it is just, as you say, being present. Yeah. I had friends who just came and sat with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they didn't need to talk. I had other people who came and wanted to tell me all of the troubles in their life while I'm great. And it's like, okay, it's not quite sure this is helping me too
right,
much.
Right.
Or others that would come and say, you know, I think my son might be thinking of suicide while I'm literally, you know, in the throes of grief. So it's part of it is just being present and knowing you have somebody there that's going to keep, I share this all the time. My girlfriends kept my head above water.
Yeah.
And I couldn't.
Yeah.
And so part of that is just being present. Mm-hmm. I love that. And whether it's in your personal life or your business life.
Yeah.
So share what your concept of, you know, being present, but also playing big.
Yeah. Well, you know, playing big, can I go back to reframe really quick?
Yes.
Because you mentioned reframe. It's such a great thing. When my daughter died, I was living in my car. I had nothing. I was literally lost everything. And I was thinking about how I'm going to survive this, right? And I was living in my car, and I remember where I woke up one morning and I said, I better do something about this because my head is playing with me. And this isn't a good place to be. So what I did was I said, okay, let's just think about how this all plays out. My mom died when I was in high school. So I started thinking, Macy is the first grandchild fathered by me that my mom gets to hold. And I went, whoa, okay, that was a cool, but I knew I needed to anchor that better. So what I did was I said, so let's look at the heaven. and let's watch Macy walk into the gate of heaven, and my mom sitting on a chair, and my mom saying, Macy, come up here and sit on grandma's lap, because I got some stories about your daddy that you're going to want to hear. And I'm, wow, that was really cool. And then I said, how can I anchor that deeper so that it lasts longer? And I said, I think about three stories that I know my mom would tell her, and then I play the story out loud. Mm-hmm. So literally every time I went to a crisis mode or I went to a down, I would do this whole thing. She walks in, first grandchild father by me. She walks in, and my grandma or my mom tells her these stories. And I'll tell you, that was probably one of the greatest gifts I was ever given, was the ability to do that, because I never felt at a loss to the degree that I was feeling before that.
And that's so similar. They've heard me talk about my definition of worry, and that's to pray for what you don't want. And so when I found that, I realized how much I was making myself sick over imagining the worst outcomes. And so being able to reframe, whether it be grief or worry, instead of focusing on what I didn't want to have happen, I could take a moment and reframe, re-trigger, and focus on what I did want to have happen. And it really is magical, because it does change your attitude. It changed your outlook. You actually feel lighter, because you're now thinking of positive outcomes, not negative outcomes.
So true.
And so what you're talking about is kind of the same thing at a much deeper level, because it's the grief, but focusing on the, you know, the contribution and the stories that they would tell each other that would bring a smile to your face.
Right. Yeah. It was really healing for me. And as I've shared that with people about it being the first grandchild father, but I mean, I see audiences literally just melt, and it just opens this door for us to have that conversation.
So for someone that's watching or listening right now, Bob, that may be going through something right now, it might not be a death, it might not be a divorce, it might just be a financial catastrophe in their business or something, but they are in that cesspool of inner grief. What advice do you give them?
Well, you know, something I did when that happened was I said, okay, is it wrong for me to feel this way? No, it's perfectly normal for me to feel this way. So stop beating yourself up about feeling. Then I said, okay, so I'm going to allow myself to feel that. So I'm going to feel like crap or whatever. I'm just going to allow myself to be in sorrow, but I'm going to put a time limit on it. So I always said, okay, maybe this is a 10-minute one, maybe this is an hour-long one, but there's a time limit. And then at the end of that time limit, what I said was, I have to get up and do something for someone else. So I have to take my eyes off of myself, go put it on someone. So I would literally go to Walmart, stand in the parking lot for somebody that needed help loading their groceries, or I would go to the neighbor's house and I would pull in their trash cans and put it in their backyard. And I'm sure they came home and went, who moved my trash can? But it was just, I had to do something for someone else. And I'll tell you, just that act of going, I'm going to feel this and I'm going to allow myself to feel it, but I'm not going to feel it forever. I'm going to feel it for X amount of time. And then I'm going to take that energy and put it into somebody else. Hands down, probably one of the best things
I did.
We
were talking a couple of weeks ago. I did a Facebook Live on getting out, overcoming funk. And I said, you know, one of the ways to do that is to start giving to someone else, doing something positive for someone else. Because when you see their joy of you, give you, it can't do anything but elevate you.
Right.
It helps pull you out of it.
So true.
Being a giver and doing something for other people is a magic potion.
I think so too. Yeah.
Well, good. Well, how can people find you, Bob?
They can go to everythingnextlevel.com, which is my major website. And then they can call in if they need a question or they want to talk to somebody. They can go to 949-542-6398. Everythingnextlevel.com has everything that they need to.
So what is everythingnextlevel.com?
You know, Sharon, that's so funny because everyone always says, Bob, what's the name of your company? You say Next Level. They go, what's the next level? And I go, I don't know what your next level is. I've got clients like you do that their next level is liquidating everything and leaving a legacy. And then you got those clients that are just saying, how do I start my first business or make my first 100,000? Whatever it is, that's what it is. But so Everything Next Level kind of came about with, well, what if you did everything at the next level? Like with everything with the next level in mind, whatever that is. And so that's where it kind of came up and it's kind of stuck.
And everything next level is playing bigger.
That's right.
Playing big to the next level. So yeah. You're going to hang in there with me for a few minutes because we're going to do another recording for the private Facebook group called Play Big Movement. So if you're not joined us, please, it's free. Come and hear a little bit more on the insider. We're going to talk about habits and things to level up, get to that next level. So thank you, Holden, for us. And thank you all for watching this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast with Sharon Lecter. And please share it with your networks and your friends as we continue to bring expertise and guidance and love to the forefront. Have a fabulous day. Thank you for listening to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast. Please subscribe to iTunes and leave us a review, as well as join us in other areas of social media, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn at Sharon Lecter, and for Facebook, author Sharon Lecter. Thank you so much and have a fabulous day.